Hey, good morning, and thanks to the help you receive from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. He will help you keep it running. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning, Denny Long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. I was listening to that forecast, seeing we're going to be near 85 today. I think it's going to be a car washing day, interior and exterior. What do you think?
It is a car washing day. It's beautiful, and also we all know that that's an important thing to do when it comes to the maintenance of your car. You know, cars are so expensive, and they need to be maintained. And one of the things that we need to do to keep them from rusting out in this climate is to keep them clean. And washing them and waxing them and polishing them is a great way to do that. And also, when you wash it, especially this first springtime, get under there with the garden hose and spray underneath and get all of the debris and crud out from under the fender wells where things, you know, where salt and corrosion seems to gather. And get all of that cleaned out of there, because that's also where rust seems to most commonly be created. So get under there and clean it out, and that's a great idea. And then get the floor mats out of your car and get those all washed up. The carpeted type floor mats get all full of salt. And you wonder how to get that off, but oftentimes if you just add a little water to it, that salt debris softens up and will wash away. And then it's going to be a nice, warm, sunny day, so you can let the floor mat sit out in the sun and they'll dry up nicely for you.
That was going to be my next comment, because I looked at yesterday when I was driving the floor mat. I thought, boy, these can get pretty nasty over the winter, even though I've cleaned them at least once during. But, you know, when the water, the outside faucets are turned off, you don't have that much of an opportunity. I'm not going to take it in the shower with me, you know, those floor mats. But indeed, it'll be great to get some of that, and vacuuming and all of that stuff. So, yeah, good day for that, for sure. If you have any kind of a car care question, whether it be a car, truck, or van, and you need to bring your vehicle in for service, but you kind of want to know what could be ailing, so you're not kind of caught blindsided. Call or text Dan. He'll give you some idea what might be ailing. Same number, by the way, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Somebody sent a text. Actually, it was an email, Dan, that I'll paraphrase this past week after you left last week's show, about, are there differences in oil filters? In other words, do you get what you pay for?
Well, you know that, Denny Long, as you're very, very particular on your oil filters. In fact, so much so that you bring your own.
Oh, yes.
you've done the research and you've done the shopping, and you know which oil filter is best for your car. And there absolutely is a difference. And over the years, I've taken the opportunity to actually disassemble some oil filters and compare the differences.
Are there differences?
Yeah, there are differences. You know, oil filters have things like bypass valves in them. And if you don't change your oil properly, the paper filter, it's not paper, but whatever that element filter is, gets plugged. And when it gets plugged, if you did not allow the oil filter to bypass, then you'd lose flow of oil through the engine. And so the oil filter has the capability of bypassing. And, you know, that bypass valve is very, very important. If it fails, the oil filters, or the oil is not being run through the filter to be cleaned, you know, if it fails in one way, if it fails in another way, and the paper filter does plug, then it will restrict the flow. So that sort of stuff is very, very important. And, you know, the oil filters are not generally real expensive. But when you think about what they do and how important they are to a car, it's worth spending an extra dollar or two on them to get the very best that you can.
Yeah, especially with synthetic oil, and you're going to change it instead of 3,000, maybe around 5,000. So you're going a few. And some manufacturers recommend 10,000. Euro 20 oil. Is there any harm in putting in 520 in it?
Well, no. You know, the short answer is no. It won't hurt anything. And actually, the viscosity on those two oils is very, very close. And one thing to note is that a 020, at least as far as I know, all of the 020 oils are synthetic. So if you're going to put 520 in, be sure that you put a synthetic oil in also. But my advice to people is still that the manufacturer designed the vehicle to run on 020, and that's what I would recommend that you run the vehicle on also. But if for some reason you can't get 020 or it's not available in your area or whatever, and you want to use 520, that'll be fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, if somebody's in an emergency pinch, do it, and then maybe the next oil change, you get rid of it. And get back.
That's one more thing to remember, too, Denny, is that in a pinch, if your car is low on oil, put some oil in it. Doesn't matter what it is, but you do not want to run the vehicle low on oil. So, if you're stuck and the vehicle's low on oil and you need to fill it up, just put oil in it. That'll be fine.
Very good. All right, I tell you what, let's do this, Dan. Let's take a break. Again, invite our we have more texts coming in. So don't wait if you have any kind of a car care question for Dan Burns. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Dan has been helping us out here in CCO for like 25-plus years, helping you out. Send in your text at 651-989-9226. Dan will help you out before you have to bring in your vehicle for service. Give you some idea of what may be ailing. Again, 651-989-9226 for your text questions for Dan Burns. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have moved along with a thunderstorm, rain, fog, mist. CCO temperature reading 67. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns, answering your car care questions. Dan is at Lloyd's Automotive. Exactly where on Grand Avenue, Daniel?
Well, we are exactly at 982 Grand Avenue, Denny, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call. We'll be here this morning even at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that number, that info, before Dan leaves us today. If you have a car care question, send a text. That's the way to get in, 651-989-9226. Here's one. I know we get additive questions from time to time, Dan. Again, product Seafoam. It's a 2019 Chev Malibu. Is it okay to pour in the oil reservoir and fuel tank every few months? That comes from Mike.
Well, it's probably okay. I think probably adding oil additive every few months is probably you'll have to watch the oil level and be sure that you're not overfilling the oil in the process of doing that. So I wouldn't recommend doing that one every few months. But to put a fuel additive in every few months is just fine. And not sure it's necessary, but it's just fine. If you've been using it your whole life and grew up that way and it has worked well for you, then go ahead and do that. That's just fine.
Okay, good. I know what your answer is going to be to this one. Can you get 500,000 miles out of a car?
You know, I have not. Yes, you can. It takes a long time to get to 500,000 miles, and I think that we're going to be seeing more of that probably, but I personally have not seen one that high. I know I've seen one more than 300,000 miles, but I don't know if I've seen one with 500,000 miles. If you do the math on that, that takes an awful lot of miles per year to add up to that. So, the trouble we run into with vehicles is the interior and the exterior and the body and everything gets worn out and rusty and nasty. And so that's a big reason they don't last that long. But as far as keeping the engine and transmission and the rest of it going, that's what we do. We do that all the time.
Yep. Very good. Thanks for that text. Again, 651-989-9226. Here's one about a Toyota Sienna van. All of a sudden, the sliding door behind the driver's seat will not open. Any suggestions or ideas? This is very inconvenient.
Yeah, you know, we do see those sliding doors that cause problems quite often. And
we just lost Dan.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, there we go.
There he is. Okay.
It's this new microphone, Dan.
That's right.
I'm not quite used to it. I'll
okay.
get the hang of it.
All right.
I push the button and then I push it again and think that it's back on, but it wasn't. So anyway, but we've seen problems with those sliding van doors. We see quite a bit of that, actually, because there's, as the door is opening and closing, there's an awful lot of moving parts that are going on with those. And so, but to answer your question, it certainly can be fixed, and we do it all the time. Oftentimes, if you're not able to get it open at all, oftentimes we'll have to maybe get that rear seat out of the way and take that inner door panel off so that we can get in there and release the latch and get the door open. And then once the door is open, then we can do some repairs on it to figure out why it's not working. But sometimes it's a little complicated to actually get it open when it's stuck like that. But we do it. Have done it many times, and it certainly can be done.
It's doable. It's fixable. Good. Here's a phrase I guess I haven't heard. I'm guessing it's just a key fob. The question is there a difference between a proximity key made by a dealership and a proximity key made elsewhere? My friend found a place that makes a proximity key for about $60. Much more at a dealership. Am I correct in assuming that's a fob type of key?
No, it's the fob, or it's the key that actually has a little chip in it.
Mm.
So the car recognizes the key.
Yeah.
And I know that they're available on the aftermarket. And I have found that the aftermarket ones work fine. I know that if you do use, I mean, if it works once, there's no reason that it shouldn't continue to work. So if you go into the hardware store or wherever it is that you're going to have that key made, just be sure that it works. And if it does, I think it would continue to be just fine.
Okay. By the way, we're accepting your text messages at 651-989-9226. Still having issues with our phone system here at CCO. 651-989-9226 is that text number. And if you have any kind of a car care question for Dan Burns, now is your chance. Here is one, Dan, that says, looking to put some sporty wheels on my Escape. Anywhere I can look at wheels in the Twin Cities, and if I'm going to have two sets of wheels and tires, how do I do the air sensors?
Well, I'll just mention one name that I know where people order tires from is Tire Rack, and you actually can order wheels and tires and sensors and the whole thing for your car, and it'll come all assembled. They'll actually ship them right to you. And I know Tire Rack's just one example, but there's a bunch of different tire companies that do it that way. And sometimes after the sensors are shipped, they need to be reprogrammed to your car. But the tire companies are actually pretty good about knowing all about your car and how it works and what needs to be done in order to do that. But in the spring and fall, we have customers that will order wheels and tires that way and then ship them, you know, directly here. And have us put them on for them. So any of those tire companies are pretty good at knowing how it works with your particular car. And those sensors are all different. Some of them are just fine. That they're just, if you just put the tires on your car, the car will find the sensors and know that they're on your car. And some other cars, the sensors have to be programmed specifically to your car. And if that's the case, any shop can do that for you.
Yeah, you mentioned Tire Rack, not to plug them, but, I mean, I've used that very thing and had them sent to Lloyd's Automotive, and you guys did the rest. Yeah, it's pretty easy, and they know what they're doing. You know, it's pretty slick. All right, I'll tell you what, time for a look at the forecast, and invite our listeners, Dan, to join in on the conversation. Again, any kind of a car care question you might have, you have some issues with your car, your truck, your van, send it in via text at 651-989-9226. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping us out as usual here on a Saturday. Stay with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your car care question via text this morning. How do you get in here? 651-989-9226 for your text questions. Here's one, Dan. 2013 F-150. The indicator showing the gear is in has quit working. What's the probable cause of this problem, do you think?
I'm pretty sure that on a 13, that's an electronic component. In other words, there's a switch down on the transmission that sends a signal to the computer, and then the computer moves the light or the button on the shift indicator and to indicate which gear you're in. And if that's not working, we have seen quite a few problems with that selector switch down on the transmission, and sometimes it'll actually cause trouble where the vehicle will have a drivability problem caused by that. It sounds like in this case it's just not reporting, but at any rate, the diagnostics portion of this would be for us to hook up our scan tool to the computer and interface with it and see if it's reporting to our scan tool. And if it's not reporting to our scan tool, then we'll know that it is the selector switch down on the transmission and that would need to be probably either repaired or more likely replaced.
Okay. Let's see. What kind of a vehicle? This is a 2000 Toyota Avalon. It says, my car sways in the rear end when taking corners at 40 mile an hour plus. New Michelin tires, new rotors, pads, and all four new calipers, new rear complete strut assemblies, new rear sway bar bushings, new stabilizer end links on all four corners. Sway bars are good. All four rear control arms seem good. Both trailing arms seem good. Nothing is bent. My trusted mechanic did a four-wheel alignment after all this. It's better, but it still sways in the rear. Do you have any ideas? Could it be trailing arm bushings?
Yeah, it could be, but they would know if those are loose, they would know that and be able to identify that. I think if you've, first of all, if this problem occurred after they started replacing parts, then I think you should go back and examine some of the parts that you put on. For example, if the struts that they installed are not working correctly, maybe one or both of them are defective. That certainly would cause your problem. But I'll tell you what, with the list of stuff that you've installed on the vehicle, I can't think of anything else that it might be. So I think you should go back and check some of the work that has already been done.
Okay. Yeah, especially since you know your mechanic so well. Let's see. Here's a 2008 Enclave. Sometimes, texter says, I turn the key on, everything comes on, radio, etc. Occasionally, when I turn to start, nothing happens. Second or third try, it starts. I've replaced the crank relay, but that did not fix it.
Yeah, you know, that's going to take some diagnostics to see what's going on, and it might seem like it's a complicated procedure to diagnose that, but it's probably not. It's usually in our business, if the vehicle will act up consistently, it's pretty easy to fix. When we get these intermittent things that only happen once a month, that gets pretty challenging because I can't duplicate the problem in the shop, and then you have to start doing a little bit of guessing. But if it acts up consistently, and we have all of our computer equipment hooked up to your vehicle, we should be able to see what's going on and know which signal or what components aren't performing, and then be able to diagnose it from there and do a repair. So I think if you just bring it in and spend a little bit of money on diagnostics, you'll get right to the bottom of it.
All right. Here is a battery question, but it's not about a car. It's about a boat. Says, I use my boat, but rarely use the boat, as a matter of fact. And the question is, how long should an AGM battery last? Not sure what that is. Marine battery?
Yeah. They should last a long time, but batteries are one of those things that need to be used. And if you don't use them, you lose them. And so... That in a car, the same thing is the story. If the car sits all the time and the battery goes dead, that cycle is really hard on the battery. The battery is meant to be, used. In other words, it's meant to crank on the vehicle and then have the alternator charge it back up. And, you know, that's how they're happiest, and that's how you get the longest life out of them. If they're allowed to go dead, or allowed to cycle very low in the process, that's really hard on the battery. So my suggestion would be maybe get one of those keep alive battery chargers and charge the battery from time to time, and you'll get a longer life out of it. But generally, I would say with batteries, Denny, we've always thought maybe 5 years or 6 years. The battery's getting pretty old, and you might want to just replace it as a maintenance item.
Yeah, agreed, yeah. This just a simple sentence here. It says, battery, where does the green wire go? The negative side of the coil? That's all the sentence says here. It doesn't say anything else.
I'm not sure with the color of the wires, but I can tell you that whenever I have a question about a wire that I can't get an answer to, I look the vehicle up in our information and look for a wiring diagram, and the wiring diagrams are very clear on, you know, what the wires are, what colors they are, and where they go. And so I think that's probably where I would refer to you to, is to a wiring diagram.
Okay, very good. If you're just joining us, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, as usual, helping you out via text this morning, 651-989-9226 for your text question. Here's one, Dan. It says, we have a 2014 Ram truck. Does the transmission fluid have to be changed, or do you leave it alone? It has 90,000 miles on it, and I haven't had any trouble with it. Any problems?
Well, I have a good idea that it does not require any maintenance, but if you look in your owner's manual, you'll find the answer to that. There'll be a maintenance guide. And, you know, I would say many vehicles, but not most anymore, the transmission fluid can be changed. Maybe most vehicles nowadays have a lifetime fluid, you know, a synthetic lifetime fluid in them, and they do not need service. And I would recommend whatever the manufacturer recommends.
Speaking of manufacturers, and of course they vary, but what do you see there at Lloyd's as far as coolant, as far as radiator flushes, unlike the old days? Is that the same thing? It's long periods of time between, or what's the deal?
Oftentimes, most of the time, coolant gets changed probably most commonly when we're doing some sort of cooling system repair, and rarely will we save the old coolant and put it back in. Most often we'll drain the coolant out when we're doing a repair. If we're putting a water pump in or a radiator or something like that, we'll drain it out and put new coolant back in. But again, many manufacturers now have a lifetime type fluid that they put in, and I would recommend whatever the manufacturer recommends there. If they do recommend changing the coolant, I would also recommend putting the exact same coolant back in the vehicle. I know, Denny, you've seen on my workbench, I've got 8 or 10 different kinds of coolant mixed up and ready to go for different types of vehicles, and that's what it takes anymore. There's lots of different varieties, and I think it's important that you put the right mixture of coolant back in, because it has additives and so forth that are designed for that particular vehicle, and to keep the inside of the engine and the components working properly, it wants those additives.
I also see in your workbench a computer, and if there's no guesswork, if a customer comes in and said, I need an oil change, or whatever the case may be, you and your guys look at this stuff. You're very definite about what goes in, chemicals or otherwise, on that particular vehicle. You leave nothing to chance there. It's another thing I've seen. Even though I've told you, yeah, I know how much oil goes in mine. You double-check to make sure, which is a wise thing.
Well,
in my case.
We're taught never to believe the customer when it comes to stuff like that, because I'm the one who's ultimately responsible
for
it.
That's true.
But you're right, Denny. There's two computers on my toolbox, and because I'm old, that's been a steep learning curve for me to stay current on all that sort of stuff. But the guys here at Lloyd's, they are just all about the information that we get from our computers, and pretty much any car comes in here, pretty much the first thing they do is plug into it, mm-hmm. and interface with it and get the information that's going on. And you know, even oftentimes that's the easiest way to reset the maintenance light after an oil change, is to just plug in and plug my computer into yours and push a couple buttons and it's done.
How about that? Tell you what, if you're just joining us, you got an extra shot at it because of technical difficulties. No Jack Farrell show today. Dan is going to help us out here, help you out for a few more minutes longer. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car question, take advantage of the time Dan is going to be with us today. Send him a text at 651-989-9226. Let's do this, Dan. Let's take a break. Come back on the other side with more text questions. Again, 651-989-9226 for your car care questions for Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Back in a moment. In the Twin Cities right now, more showers on the way. It's 67 degrees. Stay with us. On Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Back in a moment. In the Twin Cities right now, more showers on the way. It's 67 degrees. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Some what we might call extra innings because of technical difficulties to getting Jack Farrell on here. We hope next week to have Jack back on. In the meantime, Dan has kindly added some time to his work schedule here. If you have any kind of a car care question, take advantage of it. Send us a text at 651-989-9226. All right, Dan, here's another one. It is a 2001 Saturn SL2. The engine seems to run very hot. It doesn't register on my temp gauge, but when I open the hood, I notice it's very hot for a long time. Oil and fluids are all full. What do you think can cause this? Just old age?
I think that you probably can trust your gauges. I would suspect that they're reading accurately if you're not having any other trouble. And by opening the hood and feeling the heat under there, it's hot outside. And that heat is, you know, getting retained on all those metal parts. The vehicle actually runs at over 200 degrees. And you know, if it was much over that, you'd be having trouble with the vehicle boiling over and all that. So I think the fact that your gauge is reading accurately and not showing that it's running hot, I think it's probably just fine. And I think when the weather cools off, you'll find that when you open the hood, it's not quite as hot as it used to be.
Okay. Another one says this, Dan. I've got a window that squeaks when it goes up and down. I assume, texter says, it's the window rubbing on the rubber insulation. What can I do to get this to quit?
You know, there's a clear silicone spray that you can spray on all of those rubber components, and it will lubricate them and soften them and make that work real well. Before you spray that silicone on, take a rag and a screwdriver and clean out all of the spaces before you lubricate them and see if that helps.
Okay. Sometimes these text messages come in late, at least the follow-up or the rest of the question. But this was, says, hi, Dan. Let me back up a little bit. It says, I'm installing a tachometer in a Ford 460 motor. It has three wires. One is black for negative side of the battery. One is red for the positive side of the battery. Here again, this is the follow-up. Where does the green wire go, negative side of the coil?
That's correct. Yes. Oh, okay. That's the signal side of a coil. That's the side of the coil that the engine is actually firing to make the spark. And so that is exactly where you would put that green wire, would be on the negative side of the coil.
Well, good. Thanks for clearing that up, listener. Let's see. Here's one. How does one eliminate alloy wheel bead corrosion resulting in loss of tire pressure? Well, I know what you guys do there at Lloyd's.
Yeah, and sadly, it's not the best solution, but it's the only one we have, and that is to take the tire and off of the wheel, clean the wheel up real well, put some lubricant on there, and then put it back together. The reason that they are getting corroded is because the clear coat finish, the paint, you might call it, has started to deteriorate and is coming off, and because of that, it corrodes, and, you know, to really fix it right, you'd have to take it all apart and paint it again, and that's cost prohibitive. People just won't do that. So if you take it apart, clean it up real good, put some lubricant in there, and then put it back together, you'll find that it works just fine for a number of years again.
Well, here's the text that we just have to help, Dan, and I'll read it. This texture has two vehicles, two radios, live in Chaska. All I get is static, can barely hear WCCO. What can be done to fix this? Let's get on this right away.
That's right. That does need to be fixed right away. And if you're not receiving AM radio, it's because there's something wrong with your antenna. And you'll have to bring it in and get some help with this. But, you know, it can be a bad connection for the antenna. It could be that the antenna itself has failed and the cable has failed. But whatever it is, the radio's not getting a signal from the antenna. And if you figure that out, you'll get your radio back.
Okay. Here's one I don't think we've had before. We're talking about your computers that are on your workbench. Do your computers work on a school truck?
I think in most cases they do. The onboard diagnostics on a vehicle are universal. So while we might not be able to get all the specific information on a vehicle, we can at least get the emissions-related information, because that's just required on vehicles that there be a general diagnostics, onboard diagnostics needs to be universally accepted.
Okay. Just an alert to our listeners, if we don't finish answering all the test questions, we'll start the show next week with those. That's a promise. Here's one, a Nissan Versa 2009 hatchback. The hatch will not open with the fob anymore. Is it repairable?
I'm sure that it is, and I'm not sure if it's that's not receiving the signal from the fob or if the fob itself has failed. I would try a second fob and see if that solves the problem for you. If it does not, then you'll have to bring it in. But again, if I, you know, that communication stuff is all available, that information is all available to me over the computer, so if I connect my computer up to yours, I'll get the information and find out what's going on with that.
Okay. Let's see what this listener wants. So when hooking up a trickle charger to a 2014 Prius, do you hook the charger to the battery in the back, or do you hook it up in the front of the car with a fuse box and ground?
Either is fine, but the most efficient way is to hook it up directly at the battery. That's how you're going to be sure that you're getting the most charge going into the battery, is if you're connected right to the battery.
Okay. Let's see. This texter has a 2016 Toyota RAV4, 150,000 miles on it. Lately, texter says, I've noticed harsher downshifting periodically. Sometimes it seems to rev a little more before shifting, and I can't find a transmission dipstick.
There might not be a transmission dipstick. That's very possible. I don't know for sure without looking it up, but on many cars there's a procedure that we have to go through, including bringing the transmission up to a certain operating temperature and a whole bunch of conditions, and then you remove a plug, and if you remove that plug, a little bit of fluid is supposed to trickle out, and if it does not, then the transmission is low. That's how many of them are nowadays, And so if you want your transmission fluid checked, you might have to bring it into a shop and get some help with that.
Dan, we have got about a minute and a half to go here. Let me do one more, and then we'll let you go. When I switch to my winter tires and steel wheels in my 2014 VW Golf, there are no TPMS sensors in those rims. How do I get the dash light to go off, is the question.
Yeah, you don't. It's looking for those sensors, and that warning light is on because it wants the sensors, and the light will just stay on unless you choose to put some sensors in those wheels, which you can do. You can clone the sensors that are on your vehicle and copy them and put those in those other tires, and then that'll take care of it for you.
All right, very good. I know we have to let you go. We'll talk again next week, I hope. But how do we get in touch with the good folks at Lloyd's Automotive?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
All right, Dan, thank you. We'll pick up where we left off here in the text messages and invite more listeners as well. Dan, you have a good week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Denny. You too.
Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Get those lawn questions and garden questions ready, because Master Gardener Teresa Rooney will be in studio next hour here on 830 WCCO. In the midst of a thunderstorm, some rain here in the Twin Cities, our current temperature reading 67 as we head to a high, with more rain on the way, probably around 78 degrees. Stay with us here on CCO.